You started?
I just should do something. Let's see if I
okay, well, may I don't I have video going, I don't have the audio yet. But I've got home issues, so I'm trying to play with it.
There's audio on there.
But yeah, there's audio on there. I don't have a way of combining audio.
That
works. Separate audio.
Mm-hmm.
But so this you can hear that.
Okay.
Hmm?
You can connect or that's it.
Here.
It doesn't.
I haven't actually heard it because I lost my adapter.
I think
it's in the studio somewhere, I think. But I don't know. I'm going to try and get this stream back up and I'll listen to it. I'll listen to
it's an
Arthur
Clarke. Yeah, I think those are the address.
And try to figure out how to use this thing from. Do you know this thing? Does this say in? Let's say out. It's left and right.
Okay,
right.
We just start.
But probably
ignore this network.
You can always show that on your second part.
Just pass it. Yeah,
I will.
Yeah.
I'll
come check
it out.
Loud and clear?
Yeah.
But I probably don't have so much to do with that. I hang this from here. Everything ready there? Can I start? Okay, great.
I also have a signal?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Then I will introduce the very first demo of the Linux Audio Conference 2007. Let me spell it. It's a Bastard music production environment by Stefan Kost and Thomas Wagner.
I'm Stefan.
Stefan is doing the presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I left Thomas at home and he couldn't come. Yeah, so welcome everybody. Thanks for the introduction. That was actually what I planned to say. So I'm happy to open up the conference with the demo of Bastard. So you see the screenshot there. And so first thing, what is this? I put some tech cloud there, and this is not some scientific gathered data. So I just straight from the top of my head, I collected some words to describe it, so what is it about? And so you see there's something like a tracker or of course music and interactive stuff and real time and Yeah, some letters fall off the right side. And so I think you're aware of, you know what tracker applications are, like this historical stuff, that soundtrack or fast tracker or whatever. And this is one type of application that some people seem to like. I sometimes say, like when you talk about text editors, some people, or for programmers, some people want to use something like VI, some people want to have Visual Studio. And so also for the music, there's a lot of kind of different kind of application that people prefer. Some want to have something where they can click everything with the mouse, and they want to have some rendered knobs. And yeah, and some people like to have something a bit more basic or closer to technology. And so, and yeah, one thing that is big here, one keyword is GStreamer, so that's technological thing. We built the whole application based on GStreamer, and that is certainly something that is different to other applications. And if you look in the Linux audio world, GStreamer is more coming from the desktop side, so there's not a lot of Linux usual Linux audio application that use this already for content creation. And then you see one big word there, Buzz. I don't know if any one of you knows about this application. So this is actually a Windows application. It's freeware, but it is closed source. And this history is relatively short, and that should be a lesson for everyone. And yeah, it's very bad. So when the software originally came out, it was really nice. The guy that wrote it was someone from Finland, and he had some nice ideas to take this tracker concept to a next level. And the problem was he really started from the technology. It was nice ideas. UI was not the first thing that he tried to polish. And he opened up SDK, and a lot of people wrote plugins for that. That are sound generators and effects. So we have about 1,000 plugins for this bus.
Okay.
That is really a lot of like synthesizers and effects.
Yeah.
And then in December 2000, around that time, he had a hard disk crash, and he was the only core developer of the software. So he had some backup from summer, and he lost interest to restart to do all the stuff from summer. And since that, it was basically dead. Some people still wrote new plugins and new generators, but nothing really big coming there. And yeah, the time when you look at the years, that was still Windows 98 area, and under Windows XP it has some issues. And so one day I was with my friend, with Thomas, we have a band, EXO, and we composed some music, and it crashed. So it can crash because of a bug in the program or of some effect that is done in a bad way. Also, most of these plugins, they are closed source, they're free. You can download them, but only a few of them release the sources, so they don't seem to learn the lesson. And we're both computer science students, and we said, okay, let's do something about this. This needs to be open source. It doesn't make sense to develop this behind closed doors. And we were looking for a project name, register project on SourceForge, and so this name Buster was basically, we want to have Buster there. And then we said, well, it's not a tracker, it's not a sequencer like Cubase, and so it's something in between a Buster. And so that name was born. And then some people, when we registered Buster.org and everything, some people said, hey, think about name, that's really bad, it sounds like retort or whatever. So, but then some other people said, hey, this is a good idea. We use GDK, and it's a bit GNOME-centric, and if you ever want to make a KDE version, you call it Custard, and if you want to make a Motive version, you call it Mustard, and this is great, and so flexible, and yeah, so we kept the name, and it's just a name. Yeah. Then for some time, there was nothing really happened. We tried some things, and I was looking into what can we take for the audio platform. We didn't want to write the whole engine from scratch and everything, and so we started also to do some first experiments. We had so many songs written for this bus application, and we wanted to somehow load them also on the Linux. And so we need to figure out how we can load these Windows DLLs and how we can load those songs. We need to reverse engineer all that. There was basically no code available. And it took some time to go through that. And in February, we started with the first code in CBS. And and 1 year after that, or 1.5 years, GStreamer got a big iteration from the 0.8 to 0.10. And we rewrote a lot of code. And last year, we released the first version in October. And if everything goes right, after this Linux Audio Conference, will be a 0.2 version. That is basically the stuff that I can show today. And there's one or two things I want to finish, and then of course some test iterations. And hopefully if everything goes right, there will be also more packages. So right now we only have packages for OpenSUSE and Pacman, and but now we also get packages for Ubuntu and Debian, and let's see what else. So here I have a picture about the architecture. I will not go too deep into that, but it should show that it's, we try to make it kind of modular. And sometimes we also misuse this project to try out some things to, from the software engineering perspective. So there's a lot of unit testing, documentation, stuff there, which we just use the project to do something that is nice. A bit about this. So you have multiple front ends. We separate some of the engine stuff from the front ends. So the main program that people will use is this graphical editor. And then we have a command line tool. This was actually the first kind of front end, because that can be used to play something from the command line to render some files as orcodes, or to convert them and stuff. So this is nice for testing. And then once we could write some simple songs and play them, then we started with UI client, because it doesn't make any sense if you can't get the engine stuff working, you don't need fancy UI. And other thinkable things is, for instance, we have Ableton here as a sponsor, so something like a BT Live that is focused on live playback of the songs, where you don't want to change something in your setup, you just want to rearrange the songs on the fly and perform live. So that is thinkable. And so under there we have a core library that's used by the client. Then we have this big box here on the side, so called bus compatibility. There we have an import plugin for these bus songs, and we have a wrapper for these bus DLLs. So that was a major undertaking to make these bus DLLs runnable on the Linux side. So it only, of course, only works on x86, so if you have a PVC, you can't really run them.